Check. All right. I'd like to call a meeting in order, please. Council members, microphones are live. Mike, roll call.
Mayor Hiermath.
Here.
Vice Mayor Waters.
Here.
Councilmember Hornet.
Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Snyder.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
Would everybody please rise for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone. All right, so this is a special session, so it's a little bit atypical from a regular council meeting in that there are no call to the audience, no council reports, no department reports, so we'll move right on to presentations. Mike, presentation number one.
Presentation by First Things First, Pima North Council, recognizing Mayor Hiermath as the 2017 Pima North Champion for Children.
Ladies? Good evening.
Mayor Hiermath, council members. My name is Lisette DeMars. I'm the community outreach coordinator for First Things First in the Pima County Regions.
And I'm Heather Friedman, the regional director for Pima North.
We thank you for having us tonight. We wanted to take a few minutes to make you aware that Mayor Hiermath was honored by the Pima North Regional Partnership Council as this year's regional champion of the year for children. And I'm going to pass out some packets to each of you which have that, oh, thank you, Heather, which actually have that press release right on top. Heather and I wanted to honor not only the mayor, but also we know that this is a group effort, and really the work that you as a council have been doing in your community to raise awareness about the importance of the early years and to connect families in your community to those services. Behind that press release, which talks about the work that Mayor Hiermath and the council has done over the past year, you'll find what I call the one-sheeter about what First Things First is and how we accomplish our work. You'll find a map of the state. The way that our programs work is that a citizens initiative was passed in 2006 based on the science that 90% of a child's brain develops before they're five. And we are funded with a tobacco tax revenue. It's 80 cents for every pack of tobacco sold. And those revenue funds are collected at the statewide level and then redistributed by region across the state. So you'll see that there are 28 regions throughout the state. Each one of those regions, the funds are controlled by a volunteer council, which Heather will talk about in just a moment. And they get to choose what, based on the needs and the assets of their community, which of those strategies are prioritized. So you'll see listed on that little slide that there are family supports, children's health, and quality education. So here in Pima North, we'll talk about some of the resources available. But before we do that, I did want to pause and say that this is really a group effort to help raise awareness in our communities about why the early years matter. And I included what we call the business sheet in there because one of the ongoing conversations in our community is about workforce development. And we know that children who have access to high quality early child care are 80% more likely to graduate high school on time, and there's a 1-16 ratio on the money saved when it's invested early on. So I wanted to share that information with you folks so that you can pass it along within your own community. Lastly, there's a flyer in the front, and we know that parents are truly their children's first and best teacher, and they know what's best for their family. So on the back are some simple things that you can encourage families to be doing every day in their interactions that help those brain connections form. And we know that those brain connections that are formed in those first 5 years truly last a lifetime. I'm gonna pause now and hand it over to Heather to talk a little bit about what's happening here in Pima North regarding First Things First and what the council's priorities are going forward.
Thank you so much. So Pima North is where Oro Valley lies. The region stretches from the Pinal County line north to Ajo Road and is divided in half, and then there's Pima South. So as Lisa had mentioned, there are 28 different regions that are controlled by an 11-member council. The 11 members come from a number of different backgrounds because we want to ensure that we have all the different perspectives as we're making these decisions. So we have business representatives, parent representatives, the faith communities represented, philanthropy. So we have a lot of different perspectives at the table making the decisions. And in your packet, there is also what we call our regional impact report. So the impact report that you have there is for 2016, so it's slightly stale because our 2017 one is just about ready to come out. So when that is available, it will be on the First Things First website, which is included in all of the information that's provided for you. I also included some Oro Valley specific information. So every 2 years, First Things First in each region develops a needs and assets report. And something that the Pima North Council places resources in is doing something a little bit extra and dividing that information by different sections of the region, because not only is Pima North different from Maricopa and Pima South, but all the different areas within Pima North are extremely different. And so I've included the fact sheet specifically for Oro Valley so that you can see just the breakdown of data that's in there. And it's, we define Oro Valley as the 85755 and 85737 zip codes, and we know that that may not cover the entire town of Oro Valley, but we have to divide the line somewhere, and so we had to divide it by the zip code areas. So this gives you a good snapshot. This isn't available yet on our website because it hasn't been officially approved by our state board as the report is in its entirety, but I wanted to provide you with the information specifically to Oro Valley.
Thank you. So don't hold it up in front of the camera and show it.
Well, you guys can absolutely utilize it. Just the whole report hasn't been approved yet.
Thank you. Heather and Lisette, I just want to say thank you for really the work that you guys do. I'm very blessed to have known Rhonda Pena, Councilmember Pena, for the longest time than anybody on council. And she and I understood the importance when we were Greater Oro Valley Council Board of Directors and helped develop the Music in the Classrooms program and did a lot with just early childhood education. And then fast forward to 2010 when Vice Mayor Waters, Councilmember Snyder, and Councilmember Hornett really had the faith to really invest in the Children's Museum and help bring the Children's Museum up there, because your age demographic is 0 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it is incredible how many people don't realize that by the age of 3, the brain, as you said, has developed 90%, which is really incredible. And so those first few years are very, very formative, and they carry all the way through somebody's life until death. And so I've been very blessed to work with a council who understands that, who appreciates that, and now with Councilmember Rodman and Councilmember Solomon on board as well, we have a very unified council as to really stressing the importance of education in general, but not starting at the kindergarten level, right? And I think that's where most municipalities and most individuals make that mistake, because they don't really think that they can do anything in order to help the 0 to 5 year olds really prepare themselves for kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And so I you guys opened my eyes. I didn't even know you existed, to be honest with you, but I would encourage anybody who's listening to really Google First Things First and really help get involved, be proactive, and understand that there are so many things that you can do to help children from 0 to 5 that will put them on a path to success. And that's where it starts. It does not start when they enter kindergarten. Yes. So it was a surprise and an honor for me to get the award, but I will tell you, I collectively share that not only with everybody on the dais here, but the incredible team that actually supports us and allows us to really do the things that we need to do and help forming a comprehensive community. So thank you so much for coming and making a presentation today.
Our pleasure. Yes, thank you all for all of the work that you're doing for children.
Thank you.
Do you want to mention the Children's Museum?
Oh, sorry. Yes. If I can just quickly mention, so the council, building on the Children's Museum in Oro Valley, has allocated resources so that the first Tuesday of every month, children can visit the Children's Museum at a reduced rate. So,
fantastic.
We've done that in the Tucson Children's Museum and then have also included Oro Valley. So thank you guys so
thank
much.
You, so
you
much.
Bet. Thank you.
I'm going to leave a few of these flyers on the back table for members of the audience or council members or support team for anyone who wants to share this with families you know in the community. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, Mike. Number two, proclamation.
Proclamation, American Diabetes Month.
All right. Office of the Mayor, Oro Valley, Arizona, proclamation. American Diabetes Month, November 2017. Whereas in the United States, nearly 30 million people, including 682,071 in Arizona, have diabetes, a serious disease with potentially life-threatening complications, including heart disease, stroke, blindness, kidney disease, and amputation. And whereas an additional 84 million people in the United States are at risk of developing type 2 diabetes, and whereas approximately every 21 seconds someone in the United States is diagnosed with diabetes, whereas an increase in community awareness is necessary to put a stop to the diabetes epidemic, now therefore I, Dr. Satish I. Hiremath, Mayor of Oro Valley, Arizona, do hereby proclaim November 2017 to be American Diabetes Month in Oro Valley. I encourage all Americans to recognize Americans Diabetes Month and be part of the American Diabetes Association's movement to confront, fight, and most importantly, change the future of this deadly disease, dated the 16th day of November 2017. All right, Mike, we'll move to consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilman Robin.
I'd like to pull item B, please.
All right, B is pulled. Anything else? Well, I'll entertain a motion for A and C. Vice Mayor Waters?
I move to approve A and C.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Councilmember Robin, item B.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I asked it to be so we can discuss a little bit. It's the end of the first quarter of this fiscal year. There's a problem. In fact, I think everything is going very well. I'm curious to hear the rundown from Stacy and maybe a couple of questions regarding the community center. Thank you.
And Mike, just so you can read it in the record, item B is.
Sure. Item B, fiscal year 2017-18, financial update through September 2017.
Thank you. Ms. Lemos.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'll go ahead and start out with the general fund and then go through the highway fund, bed tax, and then I'll wrap up with the community center fund if that's okay. In the general fund, again, we're seeing in all of our funds that we're reporting tonight very strong financial performance versus budget for the first quarter of our fiscal year. In the general fund, first of all, the revenues are trending ahead of budget. You'll see that primarily in the licenses and permits category, and that's really a reflection of the construction activity that's happening in our community with residential construction as well as commercial construction. We have a budgeted amount of 300 single-family residential permits that we projected for this fiscal year, and through the first 3 months of this year, we've already issued 78 of those permits, so we're on track to meet or exceed that target if that trend continues. We're also seeing significant revenues coming in from the Nokomis Sky project, and so that's really resulting in excess revenues where we feel we're going to exceed the budget in that line item for this fiscal year. We're also starting to see positive trends in the local sales tax category, with all of those categories of our local sales taxes up year over year. Mainly the construction tax is driving that. That category of revenue for construction is up 70% year over year from the same time last fiscal year. And then the other categories of sales taxes, retail, restaurant, bar, utilities, those are up year over year from 5 to 6% over last year. So seeing positive trends in the revenues in the general fund. On the expenditure side in the general fund, we're seeing all of our departments so far under budget through the first quarter with budget spending or spending under budget for the first 3 months. We estimate, as you can see in your packet materials, that we'll end the year about $900,000 under budget on the expenditures. And that's primarily in the police department budget, as you can see. There's a little bit of a write-up in your council communication about the reason for that. And that's due primarily to the fact that we are taking credit against our budgeted employer contributions for those PSPRS public safety pension contributions to make up for the excess employee contribution refunds that we made and paid out of our surplus last year that totaled about $1 million. So You'll see that as potential projected savings right now in your forecast. However, as we all know, given the importance of paying down our public safety pension liability and making sure that we have a sustainable plan, staff is working on some funding strategies to bring back to you specifically related to the pension funding. And those, if approved, may include a strategy to actually pay back that amount back into our pension plan in order to address that unfunded liability that we have. And so even if that is approved before fiscal year end and we're ending up able to pay back that $900,000 back into our pension plan, we still anticipate coming in under budget in the general fund because of the positive revenue projections that we're seeing in that fund. So right now, as of the end of September, we're estimating that we will have a budget surplus at year end of about $836,000 in that fund.
Mr. Mayor, just one quickly. You mentioned the potential of paying down some of the pension liability, the general pension liability. What's our percentage now? I mean, I assume we are in an acceptable range now. Is that correct?
Right now, our public safety pension plan is about 61% funded, mm-hmm. which in comparison to some of the other jurisdictions around the state, that is fairly good. Mm-hmm. However, we're expecting our actuarial report for the next fiscal year coming anytime soon from the pension plan. And the plan has made some actuarial adjustments to all the plans to adjust mortality rates. And so they're accounting for officers and retirees living longer. And so all indications are, and we're hearing from the plan, that may result in a couple percentage notches down on everybody's funded status. Mm-hmm. So anything that we can do to pay down this debt, we're encouraged to do from best practices. And we've done this in the past in terms of funding one-time amounts in our past budgets. And so this will be something that we're working on to have more of a comprehensive strategy that's ongoing and sustainable.
So staying ahead of the curve, in effect, anticipating what may come down the line. Thank you.
Correct.
Councilmember Hornet?
What if we don't fund it or put those funds in there short term? What happens long term?
What happens long term is that our unfunded liability will likely grow. Any amount that we're able to contribute that the plan can invest at their investment rate that's pooled with all of the other funds that they have, and they're able to get that bigger investment bang for the buck, if you will, only helps fund our assets in that plan. And so, you know, it's unknown how much of a percentage drop that may impact us if we don't fund it. It's just recommended that any amounts that we can continue to fund that are already budgeted can only help us out long term.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
In the highway fund, again, we're seeing a strong financial performance in the highway fund. All of the revenues in that fund, including our state HERF taxes, are coming in on budget and where they should be at this part of the year for the first quarter. As well, the department expenditures in this fund are trending under budget right now through this first quarter. We expect to end the year slightly under budget on expenses for this year, and still have a positive fund balance in the highway fund at year end. So that fund is also trending well. Same with bed tax. Bed tax funds are trending on budget at this point in this fiscal year. We're seeing good, strong revenues in all of our properties coming in. And then our expenditures are also trending on budget at this point as well. And so we expect to end the year right on target, on budget in the bed tax fund. In the community center fund, I went ahead and just wanted to display this just quick snapshot of our budget for this current fiscal year. This is our adopted budget by fund. Our adopted budget this year, as you all know, is $128.6 million. The community center fund, you can see that as the green slice of the pie, makes up about 5% of that $128.6 million at about $6.3 million. So wanted to just put that into perspective in terms of where we are with the budget in the community center fund. And then I wanted to go ahead and put some bullet points on here as well. We're seeing positive trends in the Community Center Fund in all of the operations that operate out of the Community Center. We've got a couple of the bullet points up here just to highlight the main revenues. So the contracted operating revenues that we see from the Troon operated portions from golf, food and beverage, and tennis. This is a comparison for the first quarter, what we're seeing this fiscal year compared to the first quarter last fiscal year. So just seeing some of these trends in the positive direction. Golf revenues are up this first quarter compared to last year by $66,000. Food and beverage revenues are up by $43,000 this year compared to last year. Member dues are down about $8,000 this year compared to last year. However, those will begin trending up at the starting next month with a promotion that was offered to members last year where they could pay for 15 months of membership and pay for 12 and get 15 months worth of membership. And so essentially that diluted the monthly member dues revenue, and that promotion ended in September of this year. So now all of the revenues that we'll be seeing in member dues actually will start to take a jump starting in October by about $10,000 to $12,000 up from where they had been trending each month before. On the town operations side, for the town fitness and recreation, all those revenues are up for the first quarter by $36,000 over last quarter or last year the same time. And then sales tax revenues as well are up by $23,000 this year over last year. On the expenditure side, both the contracted and town operating expenditures are up as well year over year by about $150,000. However, they're up, but they're more than offset by the revenues year over year increases that we're seeing in those areas. Some of the reasons for some of those expenditure increases are outlined there. We had a minimum wage increase that significantly impacted the staffing over in both of those areas January 1st of this year. And so that is factored into some of those year-over-year increases. And those were budgeted. We knew about those. Utility costs this year so far for the first 3 months have been a little bit higher in the water utility costs due to some unseasonably hot weather, hot, dry weather. And then we also had some additional personnel on staff at the Troon operations to keep the courses open on the weekends this summer, which actually was very successful for those operations. It ended up increasing golf revenues. And so the revenues generated by having those courses open on the weekends actually covered those costs through food and beverage and the outside golf revenues. Golf rounds year over year for this first quarter are up a total of 2,600 rounds for the first 3 months. 2,000 rounds of those are actually outside non-member rounds that are up year over year. So we're seeing positive trends from that perspective as they work to focus on increasing outside play. You'll see that the overall fund deficit through September is $308,000 this fiscal year. That fund deficit was $363,000 last year as a comparison, so we're trending about $55,000 to the good on that overall performance. And again, just a reminder, a fund deficit is actually expected in this fund. We budget to have a deficit in this fund for the first several months because of the seasonality of the golf operations and then the seasonality of our sales tax collections, as you know. So overall, though, year-end projections are expected at this point that we're trending on budget for year-end in this fund. Would that be happy to answer any questions for you?
Councilman Rodden?
Is there anything that is concerning you? Obviously, things sound and look very good to this point. Is there anything that's out there that you say, well, a shoe could drop, and so we have to think about this or worry about that, or do you feel like we've pretty much got that under control?
We are, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Rodman, we are always watching those water costs and making sure that they stick to the budget, not only for the budget to match the budget, but also for our energy efficiency guaranteed savings that we will be starting the official measurement and verification period of that after the first of the year, making sure that we adhere to those limits. So really being able to come forward with some timely recommendations to council on ways that we can look at some possible turf reduction or some modifications to the course to be able to achieve those water savings and personnel savings.
Can you just quickly run by the energy bond thing again, how that worked? It's now been all installed, is that correct?
Almost.
We are nearing just very quickly, what was that and how did it work?
We issued $2 million in bonds to be able to finance $2 million roughly in improvements to the facility for new HVAC units, new energy efficient lighting, new pump station on the golf course, a new pool system to be able to make the pool operations more efficient, and just bring the level of energy efficiency up to a higher level in that facility. The result of that project will be that the energy savings that are achieved will pay back the debt service on those bonds over 16 years, and so which is about $170,000 a year. And so we will be wrapping up the improvements probably in the next few months and testing all of those systems and officially beginning the actual measurement and verification period, where the contractor will now start actually measuring how much energy is used, comparing that energy usage to what was projected in the project study, and just measure how well we're performing against that baseline.
And the contractor trained is guaranteed that savings, isn't it?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank
you,
Mr. Waters.
Our consultants went to considerable length to tell us the difficulty of getting outside golfers. So this golf revenue's up, member dues down numbers, they fascinate me. Do we have any kind of a handle on why we're attracting outside golfers?
From discussions with the Troon management staff, Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Waters, it's a lot of it is due to the course conditions, the favorable condition of the turf, some of the packages that are being offered, some of the promotional packages that Troon is offering for golfers, being open 3 days during the weekends, during the summer months, actually allowed us to capture some of that market, if you will, where we have two courses where one's closed during, for instance, the month of September is a big overseeding month. We have one course open the whole month where we are reseeding and overseeding the other course and have it closed down, whereas all of the other courses in Oral Valley are all closed for overseeding. So we were able to kind of capture that market just specifically for the month of September. So that's.
Do we know what that market is? Are younger people being attracted to golf, to our golf up here in Oral Valley? Do you know?
That would be a question that we would have to find out from Troon. We can certainly follow up. I don't know that answer.
I'll be asking them when we dive deep into this.
Sounds Thank good.
You. Chuck, can you go back to that pie chart for me, please? Or Stacy? Sorry.
Sure.
So that's the 17-18 budget, and the community center fund was 5% of the total budget. Last year, was the percentage higher because it was a smaller
budget?
So roughly what was that percentage? I mean, what was the percentage compared to last year?
The percentage of the community center fund?
Yes.
It was, I believe, 6%.
Okay, and so that's inclusive of the golf, correct?
Correct.
And so the first year of ownership, and I'll use the word loss, we lost $850,000. Last year we lost $600,000, so we were good, or to the good, on a 5-6 year plan, $250,000. Right. So percentage wise, and you're the CPA, I'm not. So what would $600,000 percentage wise comparative to last year's budget be? What was last year's budget? $119 million?
Overall, I think $125 million. $125 million was the overall budget.
So $600,000 of the loss that we had last year compared to the overall budget of $125 million, what's the percentage of that?
That was about 0.5%.
0.05? 0.5. 0.5%.
Half a percent.
So the loss was 0.5% of the entire total budget.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Robin.
I make a motion to approve letter B.
Second.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Before we get to regular agenda, item number one, Councilmember Sowen.
Yeah, I'm going to recluse myself from items one and two.
All right, we'll give you a call on item three. Mike, item number one, regular agenda item number one.
Discussion and possible action regarding item A, resolution number R17-48, dedication of the Honeybee Village Archaeological Preserve display area and archaeological park from the Vistoso Town Center Homeowners Association, located near the southeast corner of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Moore Road.
All right, staff report, Mr. Vella.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. It's always good to follow a good news budget item. Good news. This item before you is really another step toward improving the Honeybee Preserve, and it's really being made possible through the efforts of the Stoso Town Center Homeowners Association. So specifically tonight, our purpose is to consider a donation of two different properties that have two different purposes. And I'm going to go through those very briefly. The first property up in the left-hand corner, encircled in yellow, is a planned honeybee preserve display area that will be the primary entrance into the park. Okay. And the second property is lower right part of your screen is a currently private area that's slated for conservation, and it has quite a few significant resources within it that that are very much worth preserving. So the first area, that display and entrance, you probably are all familiar with this design in one form or fashion. This has been before council three times, two in the form of a promise through platting that it will be dedicated to the town. And then finally, review of the actual design, which includes a ramada, pedestrian walkways, and interpretive signage. So tonight's action is really bringing it home and actually doing the dedication and through the Homeowners Association. The second private property is the archaeological park. I believe back in 2005, there was findings of significant pits, and it's now essentially a dirt mound. When you go to the site, look at it, it's a dirt area. But underneath that, there are treasures, and the HOA is making it possible for the town to accept donation to make sure it's preserved through the future, and hopefully can become more of an integral part of the overall Honeybee Village Preserve system. So end of the day, we feel both of these actions are a significant step toward, again, improving Honeybee Preserve, and we're recommending approval. I should add there's one condition associated with approval, and it's simply to ensure that the town does have access to that private park. So thank
you. Any questions for Mr. Vella? Councilman Hornet?
The park that belongs to the HOA, is that protected in any way? I know there's a wall around the rest of the Honeybee.
Yes. If I may, Councilman Hornet, it's protected in words through a conservation easement. There's not a wall around that area yet, so staff will be looking at doing just that very thing.
Councilman Hornet, so our access is guaranteed. Are we saying we have access to that, and we're guaranteed that access because they allow an easement, a conservation easement? Is that what's going on there? Or does it actually become town property?
So the idea, Member Hornet, is that it will become town property, and the access we're requesting is through private subdivision roads to be able to get to it.
Is there, and I'll just ask this, is there, it's a private road, that means someone has to allow us access on the private road, is that an issue?
That, no, sir. So the HOA has agreed to give us access, and we are all on the same page entirely as part of that condition.
Is there something in writing that says that?
Yes. It is provided that the HOA will be dissolving their take in the property and adding the easement language. So it has all been...
No, I'm more concerned with the private road access than
yes.
I am anything else. Is that in writing someplace?
It is. It is. The agreement to do that...
Is that a condition, or is that in the CCNRs or the HOA? Or
no, it's not. But the declarant for the subdivision has agreed to this entirely.
I'm just looking forward to some point in time where we have an issue with this.
Yes.
Councilmember Hornet, this will be an easement by separate instrument.
Say that again?
It'll be an easement. It will be an easement by separate instrument.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
And you know all about that.
All right. Now I'll entertain a motion. Vice Mayor Waters?
I'll move to approve resolution number R1748. Dedication of the Honey Bee Village Archaeological Preserve Display Area and Archaeological Park to the town, subject to the condition listed in Attachment 1.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Mike, item number 2.
Discussion and possible action regarding item B, resolution number R17-49, donation of approximately $80,000 from the Vistoso Town Center Homeowners Association to support, protect, and enhance the display area and archaeological park located near the southeast corner of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Moore Road.
Mayor, I'll cut to the chase. Council, this is a pot of $80,000 that's going to come along with that in order to help preserve and protect that. Any questions for Mr. Vella, Councilman Hornet?
What do we do with it if we say no? I just want to know.
But it's got to come out of taxpayer fund in order to protect and preserve that.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve resolution number R17-49, donation of approximately $80,000 to help support, protect, and enhance the Honeybee Village Archaeological Display Area and Archaeological Park.
Second. Motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. And with that, I'll have Vice Mayor
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to say good work, staff, because that was getting that all worked out. It's an important archaeological thing for our community, and I know it took a lot of work getting everybody on the same page, so thank you.
Mr. Standish, let the minutes reflect that Councilmember Solomon is back for item number 3. Item number 3.
Discussion and possible action regarding resolution number R17-47, authorizing the town manager to enter into a short-term agreement with Verizon Communications Incorporated for the communications facility near the southwest corner of Innovation Park Drive and Vistoso Village Drive.
Mr. Andrews.
Mr. Mayor, council members, it's been a long time since I've done a presentation to the mayor and council.
Yes, you have.
Done one to any
speak into
you.
The microphone, please, sir.
Thanks, Joe. I can also speak up so it'll catch
you. Are you an Oro Valley resident?
That's right, yeah.
And I work for your legal department, and yes, I am an Oro Valley resident.
Let's get serious. Here's some decorum, please. Control of this,
I got a few notes. One thing I promise, no slides and privity. So what we have here before you is a delegation to the town manager allowing her to sign a short-term duration agreement with Verizon. This is located up off of Innovation Park, the southwest corner of Innovation Park Drive in Vistoso Village. It's at the light on the southwest corner there. You know where they all are, Sanofi, Icogen, all of those folks. It's important to note the facility has already received all of the approvals necessary from planning and zoning. So this is not a whether it's allowed issue. The history, here's the fun part. Verizon representative contacts CDPW in September. They bring to light, hey, that lease you provided us doesn't comply with House Bill 2365. The people in planning are going, Joe, what is House Bill 2365? So I've had to become our expert on House Bill 2365. And they sent everything to me. For context, House Bill 2365 puts restrictions on how Arizona municipalities regulate wireless facilities in the right-of-way. This includes rates, fees, how fast we have to turn around reviews, what this... And if, in fact, we don't meet those review times, it's automatically approved. So we have to move with speed. And the big one, it also exempts certain facilities from any of our zoning review. So we'll hold off a little bit, and I'll give you a full-blown House Bill 2365 sometime in January. There's your promise. Basically, it gives Arizona municipalities until February 29th to come into compliance with House Bill 2365, and I'm working with CDPW on that concurrently. basically what we need now are a set of compliant regulations. In the interim, the item before you tonight is more of a customer service matter for Verizon. The issue is now that we're in this interim phase, they don't want to pay what was used to be our rate on the ground, which was close to $1,500 to $3,000 a month, when this House bill basically reduces that drastically. If we don't work with them, they'll wait till February. I would. Put another way, it's an effort to help Verizon while the town brings forward a more comprehensive package of agreements, regulations, as a result of 2365's adoption. That's pretty much all I have for you, unless you have questions.
Any questions for Mr. Andrews? Councilman Hornet?
Will we receive any revenue as a result of this tower being there, Joe?
We will receive some revenue. We were allowed under HB 2365 to charge permit fees. We're allowed to do building reviews. And we're allowed to charge some fee based on how much it costs us to maintain the right-of-way. Now, what does that mean? That's what I'm working on with the League of Cities and Towns and our staff to figure out between now and then.
So, in essence, let's assume there's another one that comes along at some point in time. We have no authority to assess any engineering fees to do the study. Is that?
That would be part of our permitting, Mr. Hornet. We're actually allowed to charge for small wireless facilities up to $750 in permitting fees. And for what I'm calling non-small wireless facilities, because this new legislation does not well define it, $1,000. So we can get the one-time fees. The rental fees are reduced drastically.
And is there any, and I know you haven't researched the whole bill yet, but is there any restriction on the number of these that they can have in a community, or distances, or?
That would be up to us to adopt. There, we can have a reasonable distance between facilities fee or standard, but we can't tell them what pole they can and can't put their stuff on.
So, Joe, would you, on the heels of that, would you recommend that this council agendize, kind of like we did with the dispensaries, and come up with our town ordinance before we get a slew of cell tower communications individuals coming in and putting them willy-nilly?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, I have drafted hundreds of pages of things for you to look at along with CDPW.
Okay.
And we're cutting a lot of, well, hundreds of, some of those pages are agreements and they're not going to be parts of our code. But I've come up with a regulatory strategy that will work for this, that will allow us to take care of this, because under this new legislation, they're allowed to come in batches.
Got it. Okay. And so you'll bring that forward.
That will be brought forward. We're shooting for January.
Great. Thank you. Councilman Snyder?
The question I have is not appropriate at this time. It's too finite. We'll wait for Joe's presentation.
All right. With that, I'll entertain a motion. Vice Mayor Morris?
I'll move. Right. To approve, I move to approve resolution number R-17-47, authorizing the town manager to enter into a short-term agreement with Verizon Communications, Inc. for the communications facility near the southwest corner of Innovation Park Drive and Vistoso Village Drive.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thanksgiving.